Hunter's headquarters to the store today.
Hey, Ann, we appreciate you coming. I'd have worn something a little nicer if I'd have known I was going to be on the radio today.
Dressing up, are you, George?
Well, I got the face for radio. Might as well wear the clothes.
Absolutely. Well, this is the first day of turkey season, so what's been happening at the store here today?
Well, we've had a pretty good crowd of folks in and out today. Yesterday was an absolute madhouse, I guess. I kind of know how the accountants feel around April 15th. Everybody waits to the last minute, and we had a flood of people coming in yesterday looking for shells, turkey tags, shotguns, clothing, and it was a real interesting day.
See, now when I think of, a busy day, I think of Valentine's Day because I have a jewelry store. I think of Christmas because I have jewelry for Christmas. I didn't realize turkey season was a whole other season for hunters here.
Yeah, it kind of comes at a time of year when deer season has played out. All the small games like squirrel, rabbit, quail, and that sort of thing have gone out of season, and then you've got the month of March with no open seasons, and then April 1st turkey season opens up, so people get pretty fired up about it and they're ready to get out in the woods. The weather has finally broken. Absolutely beautiful day today, and people are fired up about going, and we've had some folks come in this morning that got some birds, had them weighed. I think they were in the 20 to 22 pound range, so had some successful hunts this morning, and we had a good number of folks that came in that weren't successful in bagging a bird, but always enjoy spending time outside, and today was a beautiful day to do it.
It sure was. Now, what's the average size of a bird normally?
A mature tom turkey in this part of the world, probably in the 20 to 22 pound range. If you shoot a 23, 24, 25 pound bird, that's really large for this part of the world.
Wow. Now, let me just ask you something. I know that you were an avid hunter. Do you ever get to go out and take advantage of this hunting season, George?
That's a loaded question, but no, I don't. Actually, probably done less hunting and less fishing than I ever have since, two and a half years ago when we started building this place. It's just been a real interesting experience. Takes a lot of time, and I don't get to go out and enjoy it as much as I would like. And the month of April, in the past, I ran a landscape business for 30 years. And April was really a tough month to take any time off, so I'm sort of used to not being able to go outside and hunt in April, although I do enjoy it.
Now, let's see, you bought this business from Dale Carwell, back in, 2002, is that right?
August 1st of 2002, I bought the existing business while I still had the other landscaping business going, and made for some pretty tough times, and I tell Dale sometimes since I bought the business, I don't know whether to hug him or hit him, but it's been a good investment and something that I enjoy doing, like, you know, a million other guys. I was just fortunate enough to, I guess, be at the right place at the right time, and was able to put a business transaction together, purchase his existing business, and then take off and grow with it.
Well, you certainly have grown with it. Now, what prompted you to decide to build this big place? I mean, that was a big undertaking, wasn't it, George?
It was a big undertaking, but the facility we were in was so small, and we had so much inventory in there, you just about, would knock something over every time you turned around or run into somebody. So we were at the point of either having to quit or grow, and I'm not much of a quitter. And I would drive past this lot on the way to work just about every day, and you could see the edge of the for sale sign sticking out from the kudzu that was growing over it. And so we took this gully over here that was full of sweet gums, blackberries, elms, and kudzu, graded it, built a pond back there, and flattened out a spot big enough up here next to the highway to build this facility. And I actually bought the building 3 years before we constructed it, I think back in 2009 when metals prices were down and wasn't a lot selling, and we were able to get a good deal on the building. and actually had it at a different location up on Highway 25 North than I thought I was going to do my construction there. But this piece of property wasn't priced at $1 million a lot like the bypass is. And another sort of interesting fact about it is that it was right across the street from Greenville Mills Harris plant, which was named in honor of my grandfather in September of 1950.
Well, how about that?
So I always thought that would be just kind of neat, being able to work and have my business across the street from the plant that was named in his honor so long ago.
Well, how about that? That's pretty cool. Now, you have you look like you're pretty full here, though, George. I mean, I must admit, it's not a sparse store at all, is it? It's full of stuff.
Yeah, that's what my wife tells me sometimes. Something happens to you, what am I going to do with all this stuff? And I tell her, honey, I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised what you'll be able to do with all this stuff. But we do try to keep a good bit of inventory in the store. We try to cover a wide range of products and brands and styles to keep it interesting for somebody to come in and check us out. We get new product lines in and just try to keep it interesting and keep enough material on hand to, so that you have something to pick through.
Now, one of the things about it, you do sell guns here, but, you know, it really doesn't actually, I think, have that gun store feel. It feels more like sporting goods because you've got so many other things. So I think women should not be intimidated to come in here.
We have tried our best to not promote the gun store image and the gun store feel. That's an image that I think has a lot of negative connotations. Yes, we do sell legal firearms, and we also sell a lot of fishing equipment and archery products and clothing and boots and shoes and ice chests and sandals and flip-flops and socks and everything else, and we happen to carry firearms as well. So we do try to cover a wide selection. Try to cater to a lot of folks. We have lines of women's clothing. We have some women's shoes, and not trying to pull anybody away from sharp facets, but we do have a small selection of jewelry, just to keep the ladies interested if they happen to come in with a husband or a boyfriend. And some of the archery manufacturers, as well as some of the firearms manufacturers, cater bows and firearms to the ladies, and we keep some of that inventory in the store as well.
Well, when you talk about archery, and I know I'm going to be able to go around and check out the archery department over there, but one of the things, you actually have an indoor archery range here.
That's right. We have a 12-lane, 20-yard indoor archery range, and we have that designed in the building plan from the very beginning. Archery is a large part of our business. We have a couple of archery pros, I guess is what I'll say for lack of a better word, here that tune and fit bows to you, and it's very convenient to be able to come in, pick through a wide selection, a lot of inventory back there as well, pick out your bow, have it set up specifically for you with a draw weight, draw length. We can put arrows in your hand, tune that bow to you, and you can turn right around and shoot it on our archery range and get it dialed in to suit you. And it's been a big plus, and we've had a good many ladies come through, take advantage of our archery range and our pro shop. And we've had archery leagues, and we had a men's league, ladies' league, and a children's league, and that was very popular.
Sure. And when you speak about women buying guns, that's become very popular too, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. Every lady needs to know that when seconds count, the police are only minutes away, and you have to be able to provide for your own protection.
I think I've heard that on the radio before, George.
I think it has been on the radio, as a matter of fact, and it's very true, and, you know, a lot of my police buddies, I mean, they understand that, and they know people have to be able to provide for their own protection. And, you know, all law-abiding citizens should have the right to provide for their own protection if they so choose. So small concealable firearms have been very popular of late, and a lot of the manufacturers have catered to that concealable handgun market, and we've got concealable type holsters. We've got handbags that have a concealment pocket in them specifically for handguns. So, ladies, and self-defense has been a big business.
Any Thighmaster ones where you can strap it to your thigh now, George? I just got to ask.
The Thighmaster line we haven't managed to find yet, but I'll put some feelers out and see if we can hook you up, Ann.
I can see you'll put some feelers out on that. Everybody get that? Hey, George, how you doing today? We're right here at Hunter's headquarters. I just want to ask you real quick before we're going to hear a word from our sponsors. You have all these great antique signs. When you come in the door, you got to turn around and look up there. They are so cool.
Yeah, that's kind of been a passion of mine, or affliction, as the case may be. But I just started, bought a couple of Coke signs and thought they looked cool on the wall, and went out shopping for Gulf and Pepsi and some of the reflector signs and all this old stuff. And I think the situation is, the older I get, the more I have an appreciation and love this old stuff. So I guess,
yeah, it kind of brings you back, doesn't it, George?
Brings me back to my youth. There you go, Ann. You know, when gasoline was a dime a gallon and driving the Model A's and,
Model A's? Come on now, George, you're not that old.
Dirt roads and, before they had that fancy paving stuff out there, that's right.
There you go. Hey, I tell you what, we're here with George Harris. We're out here at Hunter's headquarters. You know, you'll know him when you see him right here on Calhoun Road. When we come back, we're going to talk about that big symbol out front. We're going to actually talk to somebody that makes turkey calls, and who knows, I might try my hand at making a turkey come out, and we're going to have a good time, so I hope you stay with us right here on WCRS.
Gold, gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG, that's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. I told you we were going to come out here to Hunter's headquarters this afternoon. We're on Calhoun Road right out here. You'll know him when you see him. That's right. I'm here with George Harris, and we are going to be talking a little bit about getting a concealed weapons permit. And I think it's very interesting that here we are at Hunter's headquarters on April 1st. Yes, it's April Fool's Day. But the newspaper headline was today that there have not been any signs put up saying that you couldn't bring a gun in a restaurant or a bar so far here in Greenwood. So, George, what do you think about that?
I think that's a positive step in the right direction, because only the law-abiding people are going to follow the directions of a sign on the door anyway. Criminals are not going to leave their gun in the car just because there's a sign on the door. They're going to bring it in with them, irregardless. So I think any law-abiding citizen should have the right to provide for their own protection, no matter where they are. As long as they're not drinking, they got no business carrying a pistol on them, even walking down the sidewalk if they've been drinking. I don't go for that at all. But just the fact that I've got a pistol on me inside a restaurant that happens to serve alcohol for on-premise consumption doesn't mean that I shouldn't be able to provide for my own protection. Any would-be criminal knows that you go into a restaurant, you're probably going to have money on you. Some of the parking lots are dark, crowded. It'd be easy to jump somebody from behind or between a car, so why not be able to provide your own protection? As long as you're a law-abiding citizen, have the proper training, and have your permit, and they're not drinking. Which brings me to the fact that I'd like to introduce all the listeners to my good buddy Ed Strickland, who teaches a great concealed weapons class at his place in Abbeville.
Well, Ed, how are you doing today? This is really nice. Your reputation precedes you, just for the record. I've heard a lot about you. You teach over in Abbeville.
I do. I'm a retired law enforcement trainer. I trained law enforcement for over 20 years. I was a firearms instructor and a defensive tactics instructor. Now I've been blessed with joining the family at Hunter's headquarters here in Greenwood. We have a good relationship here with the people. When you come in, we try, not only do we try to find you the right gun, we try to get you the right training if you're interested. I started doing this years ago. I'm one of the first trainers that SLED had. We've done it. We've had thousands of students over the years. We've had people as young as 18 come for the benefit of the training, and I've had people as old as 91 come take the class. It's almost like doing a public service. But we do treat you like family here at Hunter's headquarters. We want you to come in. It doesn't matter. I've had people from up north come down, have never touched a gun in their life before.
Is it a qualification to be coming from up north to have never touched a gun here? Now, I got to ask here.
Well, a lot of us down south, we were born and raised with them. It's almost part of the culture.
Right.
You know, so, you know, I think the people down in the south are more used to having a gun in their home and this kind of stuff versus the people that have decided to move down from up north. We treat everybody fairly. Yeah, we just more a little bit more used to them down here, I think. The good old boy syndrome, I guess. But anyway, in teaching the class, it's all, again, almost like doing a public service in today's world. Last year, I've even had church buses come to my house, church security.
What? Church buses?
That's correct.
Okay.
I've had four preachers at one time. One time I had five.
Four preachers?
Oh, yeah.
Preachers need guns?
Yeah, it's kind of a GP-rated class, too. But anyway, we have a real good time. You come over, it's a turnkey job for $65. We guarantee you, if you don't have a gun, we'll provide one free and give you the bullets. And if you don't have a good time, it's free. But
you'll give us the bullets?
And that's like gold. That's really a commodity in today's world. But we can sure hook you up with bullets at Hunter's headquarters if you come on by. But, yeah, we do have a great time. Some of the best friends I have I've met during the class. I've had people want to land helicopters in my yard. I've had people come from Columbia, Greenville, Spartanburg. I've had four generations of family in the class before. If the Pope showed up, it wouldn't surprise me.
Well, you know, our latest Pope could show up. You know, he's the type of guy that would probably show up, isn't he?
He could. But, I mean, you know, anybody, like George said earlier, anybody in this country, you have a right to protect yourself and your family. You know, and we were saying earlier, you know, my motto is walk lightly and carry a big stick, and that's the whole thing. You know, out of sight, out of mind, and don't tread on me. But I do love the Boy Scouts motto, just be prepared.
Well, okay, well, there's no question that you are prepared. Do you have a gun? Oh, he does have a gun here today, folks, and it's not a tattoo, I might add. Don't know if y'all saw that one in the paper or in the news where a guy had a tattooed gun on his, right where his belt was. And he actually got arrested because they thought he was carrying a gun and was threatening somebody. How about that?
That is crazy. I mean, it's just overkill. You know, I know of a young boy that got suspended from school because he had a phone saver on his phone of a gun. I mean, that's a little, you got to have a little common sense, I think, that goes with it. But, yeah, mine's loaded, too.
Yours is loaded, too. Okay. Well, there's a lot of guns in here. Now, how do you help somebody make the right choice for a gun?
Yeah, that's huge when you come in. I mean, and we tell a lot of people, you know, we start with the basics. You know, shooting is a building block skill. You know, our first priority is tell people to be safe. You know, guns are weapons. Weapons kill people, but we want you to be safe with it. It can save your life, but you got to learn the basics, and you got to be safe with it. So when you come in, you know, we try to. On my own, I try to. Sometimes people come in, but hadn't had any kind of supervision, any kind of training at all. Maybe even take the class first. And then when you come to a gun store, the guy won't be speaking in tongues or in Greek, you know. So we do try to provide you with some basic knowledge of handguns. And just, you know, I've had people in my classes load the magazines backwards. I've had people load a 45 with 40 caliber bullets, you know. So it's not, you don't take it for granted, you know.
Now, what about women? Because I know women are becoming very active in the shooting world, shall we say, carrying guns and this type of thing. But at Hunter's headquarters, it's hard for sometimes for a woman to walk in and say, hey, I want a gun.
Now, we definitely cater to the women here. There's no question about it. We'll make sure that you will get, you know, we'll get you the proper gun. Oh, Lord. But really, when the classes started out, yes, if the good old boys came first, and now the classes usually are about half filled with women. I think women are just because of their size and demeanor, they are easier to victimize. You've got more and more ladies living alone now. I've had groups of senior ladies, you know, groups of widow. Actually, groups of widow. The other day, I had a widow lady pulling on my on my shirt sleeve. She said, am I the oldest one here? I said, ma'am, she said, am I the oldest one here? She said, I'm 86 years old. But, I mean, people are scared these days. And if that gun is an instrument, you wouldn't go home and run a chainsaw unless somebody gave you instruction, the same way with a gun.
Well, I wouldn't know. I know a lot of guys that have run a chainsaw and didn't know what they were doing. Come on now.
But the gun, you know, really, it gives you, once you understand how it works, it can give you confidence. With confidence in that gun, it can give you peace of mind, especially if you live at home by yourself, especially as a woman, as a female. But I've had women go out, and we sell all kind of, as he said earlier, all kind of little packs and holsters allow you to carry the weapon concealed. This time of year, women are getting out and walking for exercise, and you get you a little fanny pack, and you carry your gun in that fanny pack, you're safe. You don't have to worry about getting kidnapped or getting bit by, you know, a pit bull or something. You can protect yourself, and that's our, you know, that's what we want to do. We want to make sure all these ladies in Greenwood are safe.
Well, you know, one thing that we are lucky about is that we do have pretty fast response from our sheriff and police department here. But in certain parts of the country, I know some of the sheriffs there have told people, you better have a gun because we can't get there.
Well, I mean, listen, look at Spartanburg. You know, a couple years ago, 18 months ago in Spartanburg, Chuck Wright made the announcement. He made national news. A lady was molested at Milligan Park. And he got so fed up with it, he said, dang, pepper spray, get your concealed weapon permit. And my phone almost melted. But, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it does provide the ultimate protection. Now, we do sell pepper spray here at Hunter's Headquarters. We do sell some of the best flashlights money can buy. And these are all good tools to put in your Easter basket with Easter coming up. But the ultimate weapon is, you know, is the handgun.
Absolutely. Well, we are here at Hunter's Headquarters. I hope you're getting a whole lot of information. I hope you'll come by and see them here. Now, Ed, you teach your class. How often do you teach your classes on concealed weapons?
You know, it's definitely supply and demand. This time last year, we did 14 Saturdays in a row and probably over 500 people. It slowed down a little bit, but we will take care of you. It might take me a couple weeks to get to you, but we will take care of you. And again, we got to guarantee if you don't have a good time and learn something, it's free.
And do they come here to Hunter's Headquarters? Should they call you? What's the best way to get in touch with you?
That's an easy way to do it. Come in Hunter's Headquarters. I'm here a good bit. The guys, you know, we want to show you what we have and what will assist you in the class. And but we can set you up a class when you come in. No problem.
All right. So we are here at Hunter's Headquarters. We're going to hear a quick word. I think we talked through the news, but heck, this is a lot more interesting than the news anyways. We're here with George and Ed and guys just having a good time. We're actually doing a video of this too, folks. So there's going to be a video of this whole show, so you don't want to miss it. Hey, we'll be right back after a long word from our sponsors. Not really that long, but a longer word from our sponsors. Hey, I'm Ann Eller. Don't you go away.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We're right here. We are going to be talking about some turkey calls here. George, you were just making a good point about women and being able to have this powerful little tool in your hand that you control. What were you saying about that?
My impression, when ladies first take up shooting handguns, is a real powerful feeling that a lady picks up a gun and she's got this tool in her hand and she comes to the realization that, well, wait a minute, I'm the one that can make this tool do what I want it to. It's not going to do anything on its own. And I can, you know, point this pistol this direction and I can make it shoot when I want it to shoot. And, hey, I can hit that target. And it just gives an overwhelming feeling of confidence. And then when you've got that confidence of knowing that you can make this tool do what you want it to do, you know that you can provide for your own protection, and that's just a good, peaceful feeling to have, knowing that you can fend for yourself.
And you made an interesting point. Nobody is telling us what to do. I like that point probably better than any, that, you know, that I'm controlling what I'm doing with it. Somebody's not telling me, shoot over here, Ann.
that's right. I don't think you give me the impression of being a powerful woman yourself. I don't think any man would do very well telling you what to do anyway.
Probably not. That's why I'm still married to Jeff Eller, yes. But yes, but it is a good point that you are in control, and that is something confidence and knowing when you're out is something important.
That's right. You don't have to depend on somebody else. You can go out, like Ed was saying, if you're exercising, walking down the street, or if you're walking through the woods, or you're out on the farm property or whatnot, and you've got your pistol with you, then you know you can provide for your own protection, whether it's against a would-be criminal or a coyote, wild dogs, you know, what have you.
And taking care of your children. You know, that's one of the other things that I think a lot of women worry about is their children, although they're also worried about a child getting a hold of a gun, and that's where training of children is real important, isn't it?
Training and discipline. You know, discipline, it seems to go on the way of 10-cent gasoline, but there's certainly room to put discipline back into families and back in schools, and discipline is needed in the house to teach your kids what guns are, the fact that they need to stay away from them, and that they can have their time. And once kids learn to respect guns, then you can take them out, you can work with them, teach them how to shoot, and let them enjoy that feeling of being able to utilize that tool themselves. And it is a good way to grow up in the South, to go out with a family, go out plinking, whether you're shooting cans or paper or duck hunting, bird hunting, or turkey hunting, as the case may be. It's just a good thing to do.
Absolutely. Now, you do have somebody here that is demonstrating and showing turkey calls, and I guess they're selling them, too. Who's here?
Mr. Tony Reynolds and Mr. Mike Slay. Tony's a world and universal turkey calling champion, I believe, and he's been here the last couple of days demonstrating some of his calls and got a nice selection of them out on the table. And he can make these calls do things I'd never dreamed of being able to do. But he is he's good at making them, good at using them, and he's very helpful when it comes to teaching.
All right. Well, I want to talk to him. Tony, how you doing today?
I'm fine.
Now, how did you get into the turkey calling business?
Well, I love to hunt, and I was an artist, and the only way I could mix them two together was to make something with my hands and hunt. So that was it.
And what did you learn about making? What makes a good turkey call?
Well, I found out that they said an old man named Neil Calls told me, said, if your wife, it gets on your wife's nerves, it's a good turkey call, so I must make a good one. I'm divorced.
You're divorced? You haven't had any takers since?
No, they don't like these turkey calls. A lot of turkeys, they like them, so that's it.
So you can call a lot of turkeys when they're out there, huh?
Turkey, yes, ma'am.
Can talk turkey.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, can you give us a demonstration here?
Yes, ma'am. This is called a box call. And I'm going to do a little sequence. It's going to be like when a hen turkey's up the roost, then she flies down, and a gobbler's going to answer, and how the little sequence goes right up to the end of his life. So this way we're going
to... The end of his life?
It's the ultimate con. You're trying to talk, you talk this poor turkey and thinking he's going to come up and get some love, and he gets shot. So this is the way it goes. Hen turkey's in a tree. She's early morning's breaking daylight. Then as it gets more daylight, she flies down, and she does what's called a fly-down cackle. She hits the grand old gobbler. He answers her. And then she'll yelp back at him, and he'll answer. Then he flies down, and then he struts up to her, and she starts sweet-talking little soft calls. And then, boom, and that's the end of time.
So that's the last sweet talking he gets.
That's his last pillow talk right there. That's it. That's it.
And these things actually work.
Yes, ma'am. I've been doing calls for about 21 years, and I've won Grand Nationals box call championships and the World All Call. But my calls have won every contest other people using them. But I've been very fortunate. God blessed me with a talent and able to have a platform to show his grace and to be able to be in the woods and do what I enjoy doing. And it's like they said, if you enjoy what you do, you never work a day of your life. And I'm doing something 20 hours a day right now. And to me, it's been an awful lot like work though right now.
So how many turkey, you sold a lot of turkey calls?
Yes, ma'am. This year has been very well. I've I'm in five different states right now, throughout from Mississippi to North Carolina, and I've been on the road for almost 3 months now. So now I probably sold about 2,000.
Now, where do you live?
I live on Lake Greenwood, the big city of Waterloo.
Ah, okay. So you're a local guy.
Yes, sir. Right here at home.
Well, I think that's terrific. So do you ever get a chance to go out and hunt anymore?
Yes, ma'am. I got to go for the first time really this year, this morning. And I had a great time. Got to sit out under the stars and watch the sun come up and listen to the birds and really enjoyed it. Really, we didn't have no luck. We did have a big turkey in front of us all day, but somebody had played a joke and turned a tame turkey loose on me, and they played with me out in front of me all day. So, but it was nice anyway.
All right. Well, we are here. We are talking turkey here today. In fact, Lindsay, you ought to get a picture of that big one right up there. Did you already get one? Okay. They've got a stuffed turkey or two here. Now, what kind of cost on turkey calls?
Well, my calls are a little more. They're different than a mass-produced call. I build what's called a custom call, and they're handmade, and I'm an artist. I graduated from Lehman School of Art and Design, and I was an artist, and that's what I was telling him how I got into it. When I came here, I opened a T-shirt shop up, and there was no work really for what I'd done as an illustrator. So I started building turkey calls and putting my artwork on them and signing them like you do prints. And I got in with the NWTF, and it grew. And like I said, the Lord blessed me, and it grew. And I get to do what I enjoy doing now.
Well, that's terrific. Hey, I tell you what, let's hear a quick word from our sponsors. We'll be right back. We got to move on. We got archery and so much more right here at Hunter's Headquarters, right here on WCRF.
Layaway. We've done it for over 30 years here at Sharp Facets Gallery. So whether it's Christmas, a birthday, an anniversary, or just because, we know layaway every day. Come see us today at Sharp Facets Gallery. Need more info? Call us 229-6613. That's 229-6613.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here at Hunt's Headquarters. And, George, you wanted me to meet somebody out there. I tell you what, this has been a most interesting afternoon. I tell you what, I didn't realize y'all had so much here.
Well, like I said, we try to cover a lot of ground, and one of the guys that helps me do it so well is Robert Williams. He's our firearms and accessories manager, and I wanted him to talk with you for a few minutes about some of the many varied and sundry accessories that you can use to aid you in your turkey hunting.
In your turkey hunting. Well, Robert, how you doing today? I guess you're pretty busy, aren't you?
Yes, ma'am, sure am.
So what are some of the things that Hunter's Headquarters has that makes hunting a turkey so much more pleasurable?
Okay, you already got Michael over there. He's got them located.
Right.
Tony's called them in.
Right.
And once you get them called in, then you got to have something to harvest them with. There's your shotguns. Most people use shotguns here. Some people use bows, but it's legal in South Carolina to shoot shotguns. And we have shotgun shells for youth. We have them adult. And, of course, we have the hunt vest. It's got a pad for when you send, call your turkey in. And it holds all your turkey calls. Just went over. And then you're going to have to be camouflaged because turkey's eyesight is his best defense, hearing and his eyesight.
So you have good eyesight?
Absolutely. They're some of the best out there in nature. So you got to be completely camouflaged. That's why we have camouflage gloves. You got camouflage head nets. You got to be camouflaged from head to toe. And if you got a turkey coming, you cannot move. We got decoys, so the turkey will key on those decoys and come in to where it takes the attention off the hunter over there.
Well, I noticed these, they look like leaves or something, like you're covered in a camouflage outfit. It's just kind of, what's that actually called?
Leafouflage. And it's a suit. You have suits, and then you have, ponchos. And what it does, add realistic to your camouflage scheme, because when the wind's blowing, the breeze blowing, it actually blows those leaves and move it just like a bush.
So other things that make it so good here, I mean, I see a strut pouch here. I see a mouth call case. I'm telling you, how many different terms are there for all these different things here?
It's unlimited. And somebody's going to come out with something new next year, I guarantee you.
What do you think is important to have if you're hunting turkey?
Well, concealment is the most important thing for turkeys, is where they can't see you. And you make enough noise where they can hear you with calls, and you also, when you're sitting there in full camo where they can't see you, you can scratch and use like that. the hens do, and not, they have blinds you can get into. A lot of people are not mobile, you know, so they will get in blinds and food plots and stuff like Michael's got right over there right now, and they sit there and put decoys out and call and wait for the turkey to come up to them.
Now, just out of curiosity, can turkeys smell you?
They cannot.
They don't have a good sense of smell?
No good sense of smell. Oh. Deer have that. Turkeys do not. Turkeys are eyesight and hearing. Eyesight's the number one, hearing's the number two.
Well, and do they usually, are they usually like in a flock, or do they are just smaller numbers?
Doing this time of year when you hunt them, this is mating season for them, and the hens are going to be flocked up, but the gobblers are not. They get in fights this time of year and have fights over the ladies and this, that, and the other, you know. So usually the gobblers are single. Every now and then you can call in more than one, and there is a possibility of killing more turkeys if they have multiples come in with one shot.
And one last question about turkey hunting. Do they have a dance that the turkeys do? Is there the turkey dance?
Turkey strut? Yes, ma'am. Turkey strut. It's a show. We got one right over here behind us that's mounted. They have a full fan, and it's showing off of the ladies. They attract the ladies to them, and they drop their wings down, drag them, and they actually spit and drum and fan.
This has been a most interesting afternoon for me. I tell you what, I have been missing out in life.
That's what they look like right there.
Okay. Well, anything else you want us to know about turkey hunting? I guess you could find most anything you need right here at Hunt Headquarters.
Yes, ma'am. We have it all.
And do you enjoy working here, Robert?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Without a doubt.
What makes it the best?
I'm a hunter myself, and this is the kind of things that I know about and I like to be around all the time.
Now, do you get to hunt, just out of curiosity, because I know George doesn't get to hunt very much anymore. Do you get to hunt?
Yes, ma'am. Went this morning.
And did you shoot a turkey, bag a turkey?
No, ma'am.
No? Okay.
Heard seven, but didn't get any.
Okay. You weren't being played a game with or anything, were you?
That's right. Yeah. They got me this morning.
They did. It's April Fool's Day, folks. Yeah. All right. Well, listen, we are going to try to... Oh, we've got Greg Hughes right here, I think, do we? Yes? Do we have Greg? Yes? All right. Well, George, why don't you come on back over here, and let's talk to George here, and let's talk to Greg here, who is, I understand, he's really the bow master. Is that what you would call him? I don't know. I came up with that the other day. Is that correct?
Bowmaster sounds pretty good. He got a pretty good smile out of Greg, so I think that is very apropos. Very nice term. But Greg has been in the archery business for a long time, and his dad's been in archery business even longer, and they bring a lot of expertise to the store here at Hunter's Headquarters and do an excellent job working with customers, old and new. We've had people drive past a lot of other archery shops to get to Greg and Bob, so we're very proud to have them here.
As far as selling a lot of archery, aren't y'all one of the top ones as far as selling archery supplies and archery? Yes, no?
Yes and yes.
I thought you were. I mean, I think I remember this commercial here that's been airing on WCRS.
I think we were number 64 in the nation with Matthews Archery and in the top 100 with Mission Archery, which is a division of Matthews Archery. And we're very proud of that fact. We support them. They do a good job supporting us, and they've got excellent equipment, and it shows with the folks that have given us their business, which we're very appreciative of.
Well, it helps when you have an expert like Greg that can really, what shall we say, tune them up?
Tune them up or super tune, as the case may be. We moved beyond just the regular oil and lube job, and now we're doing super tuning.
Super tuning. Well, great. Well, with that build-up, what have you got to say, Greg Hughes?
I guess I'll go now.
You know, the Hunger Games and all the interest in archery certainly should have made a big difference in how archery is being perceived, particularly, I would think, for young people.
It has helped some in our area. We've been so involved with the youth and a lot of the ladies all the way along. So while we did see a peak in our business because of the Hunger Games, it really hasn't made as big an impact for us as it has for other areas. But it definitely helps to keep a new and fresh generation involved in the sport of archery.
Now, archery definitely has changed, though, over the old bow with the arrow here. I mean, I've seen some things over there that have, like, looks like three or four wires or whatever on it. I'm not a bow master, but they certainly are changed in today's world, aren't they?
Yes, they've come a long way since back in the times when the Indians and Native Americans used them to basically put food on their table and clothes on their back. You know, a good analogy that's easy to understand, a lot of times they refer to it jokingly as a stick and string compared to training wheels on a bow. The biggest thing that the mechanization of the bows has done is made them more efficient and allowed more people to be consistent and more accurate and become better hunters and more proficient shooters with them as well.
Now, one of the things, I guess, is that you help tune a bow so that depending on, doesn't matter how strong or how weak I am, you can make that bow so I can use it. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Anyone from, we have kids as young as 4 and 5 years old on up to adults that are in their late 70s and early 80s that consistently shoot bows. And it doesn't matter what age you are, whether you've shot before or not, we can typically make a bow fit and work for just about anybody that comes in the store.
And I guess they can just try it right here because you've got the range, right? I was in here Saturday, I think, and somebody was trying their bow out just to see how it worked.
Absolutely. That's one of the big tools that we have that gives us an advantage over a lot of small shops. Having an indoor range like we have, not only can we demonstrate a bow more accurately for somebody, but we can give them an opportunity to shoot multiple different bows and make sure that the bow is set properly for them to their correct draw length and at a draw weight that they can handle so that they can get the best out of the bow that it has to offer for them.
Now, how did you get interested in bows, Greg Hughes?
I was basically born into it. My father has been involved.
Oh, I didn't know you were Cupid.
Not hardly. my father, he's been involved in archery in some form since as long as I can remember. I mean, even as a young kid, I remember him with, as a matter of fact, we still have that bow in here somewhere. It's an old Bear recurve bow with, you know, the usual cedar arrows that came along with it. And I can remember playing with those as a young kid and making the mistake one time of cutting my hand on it and learning not to do it again.
So what's the most important thing when somebody decides that, you know, the Reinhardt 100 was just out there. I know a lot of people were out there, and I know it's probably generated a lot of interest in people saying, oh, I want to learn how to do that. What's the most important thing for somebody to know when they're first getting into archery?
Ask a lot of questions and make sure you get answers you're comfortable with. Regardless of what shop you go to or who you talk to, make sure that they explain things in terms that you can understand and that you can comprehend. And if you don't understand it, ask again or ask a different way. Beyond that, probably the most important thing with a bow is getting the draw length and draw weight correct for whoever's shooting the bow.
And this is WCRS right here in Greenwood. We're going to talk a little bit more. But, Greg, you know, I was just thinking, how do you determine that? I mean, do you have computers that do this, or is this a hand feel type thing? How do you determine that?
Well, for myself and my father, it's pretty much a hand. You know, we can look at somebody and generally size them up because we've been doing it long enough now. There are formulas out there that people can use to get them close as far as what kind of draw length they handle. The draw weight, that's a physical thing. Typically, you're using muscles you don't use any other way. And to start off with, you may feel like you're weaker than what you really are because you're just using undeveloped muscles. And, you know, you get those two things correct. And by the stuff that we do, we try our best to make sure that that's correct for each person that's trying to shoot and makes a world of difference getting somebody right in the bow.
Now, I understand you also have leagues out here.
Yes, we do. We just finished up our second set of indoor leagues. We had a ladies' league that ran on Tuesday evenings and a men's league that ran on Thursday evenings. And it was an indoor league for the ladies. We did what was called a five-spot round where they shoot 60 arrows at 20 yards, trying to achieve a score of 300 points with 60 X's for each round. And the men, we split it up between what's called a Vegas round, the five-spot round, and then paper animal targets as well.
So will you be having another league, or are you finished for the season?
Once turkey season is finished up in April, we're planning on starting another league in May, getting started again in May and let it run through till June, and then we'll probably do one or two more throughout the summer as well.
You know, the one thing about bow hunting, and this is the last thing I'm going to say, is it's so quiet as opposed to shooting those guns, isn't it, Craig?
Yes, it is. In many cases, you know, a deer will never, if you're hunting a deer or hunting turkey, whatever you're hunting typically never knows that a shot has happened. And a lot of times, if you do miss or have a mistake, you do get a second opportunity, whereas with a gun, it's pretty loud and it's done and it's over once you pull the trigger.
Well, Greg, thanks so much. And I guess you hang here most all the time, I understand.
Sometimes my wife thinks I have a cot in the back, yes.
Well, Greg Hughes, I know everybody's going to come out and see you here. When you need a bow, when you need it tuned up, when you need to decide you want to get the kids and the family into it, there can't be a better hobby than archery, is there, Greg?
No, it's one of the best family hobbies that there is in the market today, because people of all ages can participate in it, and regardless of skill level, there's some kind of activity that anybody can participate in.
All right. Well, thanks so much for taking time to talk to us here at Hunter's Headquarters.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, there you go. We talked to Greg. We're coming up on 5 o'clock. But, George, anything else we need to cover here today? You know, we have covered a lot of area, and yet we haven't really seen the whole store, have we?
No, we haven't seen the whole store. We didn't get a chance to talk about our Under Armour lines of clothing, Browning clothing, Life is Good clothing, ABO clothing, and some of those other neat things. And then one day I'd like to have you come back and I can explain to the whole world the thought process behind that neat sign I've got out there on top of my pole that, as far as signs go, has done an outstanding job of doing exactly what a sign is supposed to do, and that is get attention.
Well, yes, if you don't know what sign we're talking about, folks, you haven't driven on Calhoun Road here because Hunter's Headquarters has that big. Now, what is that? That's part of your telephone number, if I remember correctly from the story. Am I correct on that?
That is absolutely correct. It's a 1911 style pistol, and we were lucky enough to get the telephone number 223-1911. And that's as far as I want to go with the story right now. We'll have to save that when we've got more time.
All right. Well, that sounds good. You know, we do need to mention you have all kinds of fishing supplies. We didn't get to talk about that either, did we?
Holy smokes. And it was an absolutely beautiful day to go fishing today, but I've been inside most of the day. Didn't get to take advantage of that. But, yeah, we've got a real wide selection of fishing products and guys that can re-spool reels and give you advice on what's biting where. And sorry we didn't get a chance to cover that.
I guess you'll just have to have me back.
I guess we'll have to have you back, and we'd love to do so.
Thank you so much, George. Let's close the show out with some of these crow calls and some of these calls here is it Mike? Have you got some calls here you can do for me now? Let's see. Let's find out what these are, folks. If you've never heard this, and I have never heard this, this is awesome. Okay, your name again, sir?
Mike Slay.
Okay, I'm sure everybody knows Mike Slay. Now, Mike, tell us what you're going to do for us.
Early in the morning, the owl works real well. And this is the owl. Kind of wakes him up in the morning.
All right.
And after it starts getting light, the crow call usually works real well. Then it's kind of a good call all day long. This is the crow. And then this is the pleated woodpecker, and it works good all during the day.
What kind of woodpecker?
Pleated woodpecker.
Okay, go for it.
All right, this woodpecker. And this also does the hawk. That's a good one for all during the day. And once you get them located and they gobble, then you can go kind of move in and set up on them, and then get your turkey calls out and start calling them, the slate, the box call. And there's all kind of turkey calls you can use, from diaphragms to wing bones to box calls to friction calls. So there's a big variety, just whatever you like and works best for you.
All righty. Well, I wanted to close the show out for that because I thought it was so awesome. Thanks so much for giving us a demo. Are you going to be at Hunter's headquarters? How much longer?
We'll be here till they close.
Till they close today. Well, thanks, sir. Mike, thanks.
If they don't have it, they'll get it.
They'll get it. Well, that's the good thing about Hunter's headquarters. George, thanks so much for having us out here this afternoon.
Thank you, Ann. We really appreciate you coming. It was a pleasure.
Thank you. And this is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody.